This is Solve It for Kids.
Hello, my friends. How are you? It is so good to see you. Hi, my name is Jed Lee, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek into the real world of scientists, engineers, and artists as they solve problems in their jobs using curiosity, critical thinking, creativity, and cooperation. Please welcome to the show my co-host, my partner in exploration, the dean of all things STEM and STEAM, Jennifer Swanson!
Hello, Jay! How are you?
I am wonderful. It is beautiful here. We live in such a beautiful world. I'm so excited.
Yes, I am too. And we have a fabulous guest for today's show. And I'm happy to say she's one of my dear friends.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's just jump right into it, okay? I'll spin the wheel. We'll introduce the guest. And,
Wait. Don't we have someone that we need to recognize today on our team members?
That's right. I keep forgetting. For people who become a member of the Solve It for Kids team, we welcome them to the team and give them a shout out here on the show. So, who are we shouting out to today?
Today, we'd like to give a shout out to Alejandra. Thank you for being a part of the Solve It for Kids team.
Oh, yeah! Hey, Alejandra, so great to have you on the team. Thanks so very, very much. All right, so can we spin the wheel now?
We can spin the wheel now. Go ahead.
How do you bring an illustration to life?
Jennifer, this is a tough one. How do you bring an illustration to life? I have, like, no clue.
I don't have much clue either. However, our guest is amazing at it. I am excited to welcome to the show award-winning author and illustrator Vanessa Brantley Newton.
Hey! Hello, everyone!
Oh, we are so excited to have you, Vanessa. Plus, I also get to see you. So,
oh, yes. So excited to see all of you. This is a great day to be here. So excited.
We are going to have a fabulous show because, Jed, the problem that Vanessa is going to help us solve is how do you bring your illustrated characters to life?
Da, da, da.
Now, yes. we have to say that this is not a Frankenstein show, right? Even though this is a STEM show, we're not talking about Frankenstein, bringing them to life. Unfortunately, I know all your kids out there are going, oh, man. no. I mean, I'm kind of doing that. That'll be a future show. But this is one of our STEAM episodes, right, where we add art to STEM and make everything cool. So Vanessa's going to show us and talk to us about how she brings her characters to life. And if you've ever seen her illustrations, they just make you smile when you look at them.
So I am an illustrator, and I just don't illustrate children's books. I illustrate all kinds of things. But how I got into illustration was I was drawing since I was 3 years old.
Wow.
And I really love to draw. And so the first time I drew my portrait on the side of the kitchen stove, and I did it with my crayons, and my mom and dad were cooking, and it melted down into a puddle on the floor. And I jumped back and I said, I'm an artist. And they were like, no, you're not. You're a janitor. You're going to clean all of this up. And so my first job was a janitor. But then, you know, I still love to draw. And so I would draw on anything that was white. And so the baseboards in our house were white. And
oh,
so I
no.
would sneak in the closet and I would draw on the baseboards, and then I would get in trouble, and my mom would give me comic cleanser and a sponge, and I had to clean it all up. But they finally got the memo that I love to draw. So they got me some notebooks.
Oh,
and that's
there you
when
go.
I began to put my artwork. I began to put it in notebooks. But I love to study people. That was my thing. I love to study people. And so when Miss Vanessa grew up, I worked in a hospital, and I took care of children who were very sick, and I took care of adults, and my art career just kind of went to the side. Now, I went to school for art, But I was basically self-taught. So I taught myself how to draw. And so I got to be around a lot of people and a lot of children. And I got to study them, look at them, so I can see when they were happy, when they were sad, when they were angry, when they were scared. And all of that got recorded up here in my brain.
Yeah.
And so I would go back to my desk, and I would just draw. I would just draw a happy face. I would just draw a child that was crying. I would do all of this until years passed, and I get married, and I have my own little family, and I want to go back into art now. So I'm back into art, but I want to do children's books because I love children's books.
Yes.
You know, like amazing. Things like Wimpy Kids, mm-hmm. Snowy Day, stuff. Yes. I love those kinds of books.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And so I started studying those books, and as I studied them, I noticed that the characters' faces took on some of the same character faces that I drew when I was at the hospital working.
Oh.
I was like, oh, wow. So this is going to help me a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in doing children's books, which I do a whole lot of them, you know, getting the characters right really, really is very, very important. This is one of the characters that I drew for a book that I just did called Just Like Me. And I studied this little girl's face. And most of the children that see this picture, who are children of color, they look at it and go, that looks just like me. You know, and so they identify with the hair, the skin color, the clothing, things like that. But I began to study faces. And as I begin to study faces, I had to find somewhere else to put them at. And so I began to fill up notebooks. And as I begin to fill up notebooks, I begin to just really think hard and long and hard about what I want to do. I want to do children's books. I want to do happy faces. I want to do stories that children would love to read over and over and over and over and over and over again. This is a picture of a little girl that I did, and I did her out of cardboard.
Oh, wow.
She's cut out of cardboard and pieced together like a puzzle. And so in coloring her face here, I did a light brown, almost like a caramel chocolate brown for her face. And then her hair is black, and I did it in layers. So I put down one piece of cardboard on top of another piece of cardboard on top of another piece of cardboard. So when you look at it, it actually has dimension to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then bobbles and different things that we put in her hair. Then because the book is the first one of the first poems in the book is called I Am a Canvas. And so if you look really closely at the picture, you can see canvas in the background.
You can, yeah.
And I wanted to put paint on her face. So I put little dabs of paint all over her face so you can see that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I created this character. And there's a look of wonderment on her face, like, oh, I wonder what's going on. And if you notice that her eyes are to the left, or the right of the page, rather, where she's looking like how the book is going to be turned over.
Mm.
So I think about things like that as well. Do you see my little library here?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I'm going to go through here and just pick out some characters. Here's one of some colorful faces that I did of all different colors. Here's another character that I did. And this is Sunny Girl Print. And this is another one that I did cutouts of face and hair to put this on paper.
You know, it's interesting to me, Vanessa, the first picture that for the cover art for Just Like Me is similar to the picture that we just looked at, but is a total different expression. This is a totally different person that you're depicting. What are some of the subtle things that I mean, I'm not noticing the subtle things that you did to make this, you know, these two illustrations two completely different people.
Yes. So, in going back, let's take a look at this one really close.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Looking at this one, the eyes are, both of them have eyes that go to the right of the page.
Yep.
Like they're expecting something. But look at the different ways that the eyebrows are.
Mm-hmm.
the eyebrows on this one. And then I'm going to just bring this down.
Yep.
And the raised eyebrows on that one.
Oh. So even if you surprise look. Yeah.
So even if you're sitting at your computer, you're watching this, and you can get a mirror, watch how your eyebrows rise when you're excited, angry. Oh, when you're just disgusted, like, ugh. And you're rolling your eyes up in your head. You get to see how your face changes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so I have to make those adjustments in the characters that I draw. Here's another one. This little girl here. she's getting ready to step on a bug.
And mm-hmm. she looks horrified. Like,
and she looks horrified. Exactly.
You're right. So, I'm amazed that just that, you know, the little difference in the shape of the eyebrows expresses something completely different.
Yeah, because these are slanted now, which makes you think that, you know, oh, wow.
Peril, danger, danger, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or ill, you know, so, you know, I love giving these characters these wonderful expressions. So you can see this one. And guess what? You guys can go and download this and get this bookmark to use as a bookmark when you're reading. Okay? But it was done for Children's Book Week. And if we look over all the way to the left of the page here, read now, read forever. This little girl has a totally different look on her face.
She does. But
her eyebrows are lifted and her mouth is open and she's excited.
Yes.
You know? And Mr. Lion, he has an expression on his face too. He looks pretty pleased to be reading.
Right.
So, eyes and noses and mouths, you know, the way we draw them can help us to, create different characters and give them life. And this is what gives my characters life, is that I study people's faces of when they're happy or when they're sad, when they're angry, when they're, scared, when they're, sick or, you know, green, you know, sometimes I can color a character green because it's sick,
right.
You know, and here is a lion. Here's the lion that I drew and, you can draw that too. All that comes in that download. So when you download it, you'll be able to play with this lion and maybe give it some expressions.
And can they download it at the website, everychildareader.net?
Yes. That okay. is where you download it from. Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, and this shows you step by step how to draw a lion. I might even be able to do that. I'm a stick figure drawer, you know? And actually, the biggest problem I have drawing is faces. Because.
Oh, this will help. This will help because it's just simple shapes. And kids, that's what's really so cool about drawing for me is that I am dyslexic. If any of you know what dyslexia is, you tend to get your letters and your numbers backwards. My letters and my numbers tend to jump on the page and they just move around and they do all kinds of crazy somersaults and flips and things, which causes me not to see them properly. But when I look at them as shapes, it helps me a great deal.
Wow.
And it helps me to read more, better. And so when I did this lion, it was kind of like with letters that I learned from a little child. So this would be an O. The right. ears look like C's, a backward C's. Uh-huh. And then we have a simple triangle. And then you have just a J for a mouth. And can you draw a J backwards? Of course you can. Mm-hmm. Draw a J backwards. And then dots for eyes and lines for whiskers. And then think about drawing a flower around the head. That's the mane. You just draw a lion.
Wow.
That's amazing. I mean, that's amazing.
I love that you, because I am very challenged when it comes to drawing, but I love that you broke this down into little pieces.
Yes.
And I think that's such a great lesson for, because a lot of times when kids and adults approach a problem, they just look at this whole problem and it's like overwhelming to them. And it just looks so big and so unsolvable. But you, by taking this and breaking it down and doing a little piece of the problem at a time, you came to a solution.
That's right. Absolutely.
Now, can I ask you a question? When you are looking, because you have so many different eyes on your characters, do you practice just eyes trying to figure out how it works?
Yes. I practice all shapes of eyes. The thing about dot eyes are they're very easy to do. And they're fun. I mean, you can just dot and you're done. You know? But then when you want to get more intricate and do something more lifelike and more expression. Now, with dot eyes, you can get a little expression. I mean, you can always take the eyebrows and you can put them down or you can put them up, you know, to change. No eyebrows at all. But when you do an eye that is more round, or you can get more expression. Yes. If you wanted to make the eyes sleepy, I would just go in and maybe just take a little bit off the top there. And I go in here and take this down just a tad.
Okay, so to explain what she's doing, so Vanessa's actually changing the image as we're watching it. And she's taking her brush and she's lowering, it looks like you're almost lowering the eyes at the top, like you would close your lids when you're sleepy. Wow. And that changes the whole look.
And it changes the whole look.
This is something kids can do to practice, right? So they just make eyes.
Absolutely.
And your eyes are not always perfectly round. They're sometimes slightly oval and you can make different shapes. I assume you look at different people of different races to figure out which kind of eyes that you would like.
Absolutely. I mean, so here I am in my drawing here. And I'm just going to draw an eye shape. And it doesn't have to be perfect. So, you know, you guys, I want you to be a little bit gentle with yourselves and not feel like, oh, it has to be perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. Okay, but here's some eyes. They look a little crazy, but I'm gonna thicken them up and kind of make
that's
them
okay. You could start with crazy, you know. I mean, who knows? Maybe they're having a bad day.
Okay. So that's right. So here's some eyes. Here is angry, probably.
Mm-hmm.
What angry would look like. You could change the shape of the eye and do a more round eye. And maybe those eyeballs are looking up.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and maybe those eyebrows are like that. Maybe we're doing some evil eyes.
Ooh. So these are half circles, semicircles. Ooh. That are looking off. Ooh. Oh, I love the close curly eyebrows. Very good.
Exactly. Exactly. How about these eyes? This is just really simple. You don't even have to put a bottom on it.
Right? Just like a curve.
Just a curve, but it's like a comma on its side.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
You know?
See, I would never have thought of all these, but these are four different sets of eyes and they convey four different expressions. This is what I mean. Like this is what makes your beautiful illustrations and the faces come alive. And
absolutely.
You think about it. When you look at people and you're out and about, you can read a lot from people's eyes and their whole expressions, but mostly their eyes. You can tell.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it's this is really interesting. I'm fascinated that you trained yourself or just had a natural instinct to notice all these little subtleties. Because we notice it in our day-to-day lives and we recognize it. We know when somebody, and when we're looking at somebody in the eyes and looking at their face and they say something, we can tell right away if they're making a joke. Typically we can tell if they're joking, if they're serious, if they say words that could be taken as angry. Well, maybe they're just making a joke and we know that from their expression. That's one of the things that gets people in trouble when they're sending texts because they might be making a joke, but that doesn't come with the facial context.
Exactly.
And so no one
knows. Because
you
don't see the face. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, facial expression is everything. And I like to give my characters joy. That's what I'm known for.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, Vanessa, you just capture characters in children's books. How do you do that? How do you look at a character or look at a person and decide that's the face that you want to give them? Because I studied them. So I have this sketchbook that I keep, and I keep small ones now. I used to keep real big ones. I was telling Miss Jen before we came on, I used to keep really, really big sketchbooks, and it would be overwhelming because there would be a big page, and I'd be like, oh, how am I going to fill up this page? And so I started getting small ones like this.
Oh, nice.
And in it, I began to put people that I studied or places that I went to. And some of them were imaginary places. These are not, you know, but they're characters. Look at the characters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're beautiful. Yeah. So she has characters doing, there's dancing characters. There's characters that might be
dancing characters.
Yeah.
There's a teacher friend that I know.
Oh.
And some students.
So basically, okay, you're saying kids should carry a notebook if they're drawing and draw everything they see.
Absolutely. And so this is my challenge to you is, I have a little tiny sketchbook inside of my book and inside of my notebook. It's very tiny, but it has all kinds of characters and things in it. Okay. And I'm going to show you real quick how to make your own so that you can put characters in them that you can study. Okay.
Okay.
So here we go. All you need is a piece of paper from your computer, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're going to fold that piece of paper in half, like I just did. You're going to fold it in half, okay? And then you're going to tear it. You don't even have to use a pair of scissors. You're just going to rip it in half neatly or cut it in half if you want to, and you should have a sheet like that, okay?
Yep.
Then you're going to fold this sheet, and you fold this sheet in half just like this. Okay, and you're going to tear this sheet in half.
So now you're down to about a fourth of a sheet of paper.
That's right.
Yes.
So after you do this, this is the fun part here. So now you have this. So you have three other sheets now that you can use to make a little notebook. And what you're going to do is you're going to fold it in half like this. Okay, you fold it in half like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to fold it again, okay? And you're going to fold it one more time.
Oh, wow.
Like that, okay? So you got a little book already, but what you're going to do is you're going to make an accordion book. So you're going to take your piece of paper now that you have it like that, and you're going to fold it this way, and then you're going to fold it back the other way,
right,
and you're going to fold it this way until you get it all into a nice little accordion notebook. So here's your little sketchbook that now you can put all your little sketches in, and you can actually use the back as well. So here you go.
That's awesome.
That is
so, yes, and you can glue them together and make as long as you want.
So that's your challenge to our listeners. So if you guys go and make your accordion notebook and draw images, then take a picture of it and tag us on Solve It Podcast on our Twitter site or Instagram, and then we'll tag Vanessa.
I would love to see what you've done, and please feel free to visit my website and leave me a note with pictures. You can do that at VanessaBrantleyNewton.com. You can find me on Facebook at Vanessa Newton as well, and Vanessa Brantley Newton hyphen Brantley Newton. And you can also find me on Instagram at Vanessa Brantley Newton.
That's awesome.
Wow. What a great, great time. And I love this because I have this friend in Chicago who's a tiny little first grader, and she was bothered by being tiny so much that her mom wrote a book about it. And, but she does great big things. She just raised over $10,000 for a children's hospital in Chicago by making bracelets.
That's wonderful.
And our conversation today just showed us how observing the littlest things can make a big difference in an illustration and a big difference in the world.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I have to ask you, because we are all about failure here, too. So I'm sure that it takes you many, many hours to come up with a really great illustration. Yes?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And so there are times when I'm drawing and the size is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have a big nose and tiny eyes. And, you know, it's just not working for me. And I just want to take everything and just throw it away, you know, just get rid of it. But, and it's different when you're working on a computer. So Miss Vanessa works on a computer. And so when the character is not what I want it to be, I can take it and turn it around and make it whatever I want it to be. But when I'm painting a character, I'm working on this awesome book called Becoming Vanessa. And it is the story of me when I was a little girl in school.
Aww.
And so, right? And so this particular book, I'm actually painting. I'm not actually using the computer. So I'm painting with my pens and my paint pens. Here's another paint pen that I use. It's a big one. Oops. Yeah, flew off. But I have a bunch of, I wish I could show you my desk. But you can see on my shelves, I have a whole lot of stuff. So here's the character getting dressed.
He's adorable.
Vanessa's showing this great, great illustration of three, a girl in three different poses. And it's
exactly
great.
Three different poses with three different faces. Mm-hmm. There's her face of I'm kind of content doing what I'm doing. I'm looking, you know, for something. And then I've figured out exactly what I want to wear.
And she's got a beautiful outfit with a gorgeous skirt and a flower boa, or, you know, a big furry boa.
Yeah, a furry boa.
And like a beret.
A beret, right? Exactly. Yeah. The problem was, after I moved on from that particular sketch, I had to do a sketch of her eating her lunch. And I kept getting the size wrong.
Oh.
Literally kept getting the size wrong. And so this is the finished piece of what it's supposed to look like. But these are the two messed up ones that I did with no hat on, and they were too small. And it kept getting smaller. It's just like, I just couldn't get it right to save my life. And so that's what happens sometimes when you're drawing. And what I had to do was I had to pull out a piece of tracing paper and trace the size and then go and paint it. It was frustrating. It was frustrating. And, you know, just the problem solving is that we need to be patient with ourselves, kids. Mm. You know, it takes a moment to figure it out. You're not a bad person because you didn't figure it out the way everybody else did, or because you didn't do it the way somebody else did it. Art is the way that you do art. Yes. How do you do art? Do you like big trucks? Or do you like pretty dresses?
Right.
You draw whatever you want to draw. And you may have to draw it over and over again until you get it just right. But be gentle with yourselves and just give yourself the time you need to enjoy drawing and to have fun. That's it.
I love this. I think it's so, creating art is so much fun. And your art is so colorful, and it absolutely is alive. Every picture that you showed us is alive. And I've seen on my podcast, Reading With Your Kids, I've seen thousands of picture books and art. And frankly, a lot of art looks like it was created by a computer, and it just kind of sits there. All the little subtleties, all the little things that you put into your art really makes it come alive, and it's beautiful.
Every time I look at your books, Vanessa, I just smile. Your characters they feel like they could just jump off the page at you and be your best friend, you know.
That's exactly
what you are to me. But I mean,
yes.
But I just think that you just have a way of bringing kids into it. And that's why, you know, we wanted to have you on the show to show also that, yeah, we're talking about STEM, but art is so intertwined. And especially when you're talking about shapes, you know, don't tell anybody, that's math, people. That's math. So you may have to use
math. Too good. Yeah.
Right. But you may have to use math someday in your life. And it was amazing how you pulled all of that together and how, you know, your process is still to figure out problems and solve it for the book that you're writing.
That's right.
You know, the other thing I learned talking to you was just how important it is for us to be present every moment of our lives, to be aware of what's going on. Just don't walk through life letting life happen to us. Just notice everything that's happening around us.
Absolutely. It makes for great artists. and great illustrators is studying things, going outside and looking at a tree and seeing what the intricate leaves look like when you get on top of them. Maple leaves are different from oak leaves. But you wouldn't know that if you didn't go outside and take a look at them.
Right.
Ginkgo biloba trees have the most beautiful leaves.
Wow.
And so I love drawing them. You see them a lot in my drawings, actually. I love putting them in my drawing books, in my notebooks. Studying people. Studying the different sizes of people's heads. Some people have big heads.
Yep.
Some people have little heads. Some people have tiny little necks. Other people have big, strong necks.
Yep.
People have hair. Some people don't have hair. I have a very short haircut. Okay? But I like earrings. Some people wear big earrings. Some people wear small earrings. These are things you have to notice about people. You know, and you don't have to stare very long, but you know, as you go walking or you look, you look at your grandpa. Maybe grandpa has gray hair or white hair, and it might be long, and he might have a beard. Yeah. You know, maybe grandma has blue hair. You know,
maybe.
You know, and she has maybe some smile lines, happy smile lines around her eyes. You know, maybe you want to draw somebody with big hands. And little teeny weeny tiny feet. You can draw whatever you want to draw, however you want to draw it. And you're going to solve the problem of what makes it happy for you, what makes it sad. You know, sometimes you just like scary things. You know, so you can have as many scary things as you like. You know, so if you want to draw vampires,
we can draw the Frankenstein, right? Like we were talking about
Absolutely. The robots.
Well, this has been a fabulous conversation. Thank you so much for being with us, Vanessa. And everybody be sure to go to our website and check out, because we'll have pictures of Vanessa's illustrations that she showed us here. So our website is solventpodcast.com. And don't forget the challenge. So if you want to make your tiny little accordion book, notebook, and then take a picture and send it to us, we'll be sure to tag Vanessa.
And put some pictures on that notebook before you take an image of it.
There you go. Yeah. Put some pictures. Draw some pictures on the notebook.
You don't need to see 100.
Put some pictures on there. Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't need to see 100 accordion, blank accordion books.
Yes, we want to see faces. Put faces on it. Absolutely.
Put faces. So thanks, Vanessa. Thank you for being on the Solvent
Podcast. You're welcome.
Thanks, Vanessa. Bye-bye.
You all have a great day.
Jennifer, that was fantastic. Man, Vanessa is so cool. She's so much fun. I am really happy that we had a chance to meet her today.
I love her. I think her illustrations, if you get a chance to go to our website, solventforkids.com, we will have some of her illustrations up there. They're so beautiful and fun. And I'm hoping that the kids will take on the challenge to create some of their own amazing illustrations. I can't wait to see them. Can you, Jed?
I can't either. And I love it. I love what kids are doing. I love that they're tagging Solve It for Kids when their parents give them permission to put their pictures up on Instagram. It's like so much fun.
It is. And they're amazing pictures. And you guys are doing some awesome science experiments.
Yeah. Hey, Jennifer, remind everybody, if they want to become a member of the Solve It for Kids team, what do they need to do?
Well, the easy thing to do is to go to our website, solventforkids.com, click on the big button that says Be a Member, and it will take you to our Patreon page where it will give you all of the information about it.
Yeah.
And there's exciting things for those of you that choose to become team members.
Well, I'm real excited. I'm really excited that this podcast is for kids and families to listen to together. It's so much fun. Family is awesome. Science, engineering, art are awesome. And this is an awesome podcast.
It is. We think so, at least anyway. And we hope you do too. So also, we're looking for comments. If you love our podcast, or maybe you have an idea of a person or an expert that we should interview, you have a question for them, send it to us through our website. You can just click on Contact Us and it'll send us an email, and we'd be happy to hear what you have to say. Or maybe we can go find an expert to answer the question you have.
Awesome. Hey, see you next time on
Solve It for Kids.